I'm Michael Knowles here to tell you that Rules for Retrogrades, the book and the show, are out now, and you absolutely need to check it out before the Thought Police confiscate all of it and lock you away.
Rules for Retrogrades out today. Counter disruption. We're disrupting the plans of the radicals. Everyone pick up a copy if you don't already have one. And if you do have one, please leave a review in all the relevant places so that we get it in the hands of all the people that need it. Rules for Retrogrades. Rise. Yeehaw!
Greetings, parish orphans and retrogrades. I'm here today with a show which informs a special and friendly rebuttal to Mr. Tim Staples of Catholic Answers, a good man and an overall good outfit, on a bit of Catholic thought news that got buried under the election and which cannot afford to be buried. Francis's statement in Francesco, the documentary, which refers to a very real, inarguable act he took as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, defending the idea of, and the legislative idea of, gay civil unions. Now, Tim Staples, a good man, I'm going to say something about Mr. Staples in a second, defended in a way that is magisterially incorrect Francis's magisterially incorrect statement on gay civil unions. Most of that stems from the fact that in Buenos Aires, the legislative issue of gay civil unions was a matter of first impression. This is a legal term, meaning they didn't have gay civil unions before he was defending it, in which case the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document on point would have, it does allow a gloss. If a new bit of legislation is a gloss on pre-existent legislation on gay civil unions, and the new gloss merely strips at the strength of or makes distinctions to the affirmation of gay civil unions, then that might be okay. Then it becomes an issue of prudence. It likely is okay. That's not what it is. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document that I'm going to be citing throughout today's friendly rebuttal makes very clear that if it's a matter of first impression, if it's the first attempt that the Marxist, Jacobinist, homosexualists have used legislatively to instantiate into law an affirmation of gay civil unions, then there is no nada bupkis zilch way that a Catholic in good standing, much less the pontiff, can support that legislation which would reify into civil society the idea of gay civil unions. Okay, but first I want to make a statement about Tim Staples, Catholic Answers. It's a good outfit. They've been troubled since the Francis pontificate, but let me say something that a lot of Catholics need to hear. When people come out and they say, hey, I'd love to challenge so-and-so, Catholic thinker or apologist, on such-and-such an issue, and I want to do it in a friendly way, it's usually a see-through veneer of passive aggression and dislike. You're usually hurling kind of friendly-sounding insults at the person. Tim Staples, back in when I was in law school, in 2011, I think, before a lot of Catholics knew who I was, the only people that had ever read me were conservatives, for secular conservative rags that would publish me. Tim Staples was extremely nice to me. This goes a long way in the world of men. In the world here below, you find out what someone's made of when they're nice to you for no reason. When they're nice, period, for no reason. He was extremely nice to me. Helped me to get kind of set up with the publication, the imprint, Catholic Answers Press, and the magazine. He's a nice man. He's a sincere man. And so I'm not the kind of guy that forgets that. And also, I like Trent Horn, who I think he's a nice man and a good man. and these are men of integrity. What's happened under the Francis pontificate is not their fault. When number 266 is this outrageously, radically bad, as he is, Pope Francis, it sows confusion and discord among men. And I mean, by men, I mean the good, the good-willed Catholics who are trying to do their best to reconcile the unchanging part of teaching with the kind of verisimilitudes of having a leader of the church who is not Jesus, who is a Peter at best, and in this case, a very bad Peter, a Pope. So we're trying to reconcile those two things, the changing and the unchanging. That's what it's all about. It's all about composition between the changing and the unchanging. The Catholic Church, the one true faith, is the only one that can do that, but we do it imperfectly. Yours truly included. So this is not one of those phony statements, just to get started, about Tim Staples or Trent Horn, who took, I think, a similar enough line of defense to Staples, where I say it, and then let me get this out of the way, so I come across as civil, and then I'm just going to obliterate this person. I like these guys. I've liked them, I listened to them 10 years ago, and I still like them. Now, if people are slowly turning off Catholic Answers, one, under a different pontificate, they might turn them back on. But the credibility has been compromised. That doesn't mean they're not smart guys with good apologias, particularly as against Protestants. They're really effective. Particularly, go buy Trent Horn's book on socialism. Can a Catholic be a socialist? It's outstanding. It's outstanding. Staples' work on Mother Mary is outstanding. Okay, these are not token compliments before I just lay into someone. These are good men. These are good men that on issues aside from Pope Francis are 100% worth listening to. And I mean, I say the same thing to my own detractors when it came to a disagreement with, like, Taylor Marshall. I say, listen to these guys on all issues except. And even then, you're taking it from me. So maybe you don't believe me. I'm going to make a reasoned argument for what I'm saying. When it comes to Tim Staples and Trent Horn, I disagree very much about Pope Francis. Now, I do agree with them more than I do with certain fellow trads on my end about ostensible connections between, say, Vatican II and the badness of Pope Francis. I don't think there's much of a connection there. And many, or I'd even say most other trads, want to connect what's bad in Francis to what they see as bad in Vatican II. And yeah, there are definite badnesses, for lack of a better term, huge privations, evil intents, wicked designs, machinations, before, during, and after Vatican II. But I do not agree with, say, my former co-host, we're co-hosts together on TNT, Taylor Marshall, about the strong connections between Vatican II and Francis. That's where we disagree. We disagree on the hermeneutic continuity. That doesn't mean that I have any personal animus there either. People need to get it straight. I will go drink a beer with any of these guys, especially Tim Staples, who's an ex-Marine, Trent Horn. This is not personal. It's business. And I like these guys. When it comes to the personal, I'm not being neutral. I like Trent Horn and Tim Staples, okay? So let me get that out there. I know I've said it two or three times, but this is not token civility. When I don't like someone, I make it clear. I'm a man who makes clear how I feel about things. I do think these are good guys. Now, but one contrast I would make right away, this is relevant to what I said about Tim Staples and Taylor Marshall. It's utterly clear. I defy any of you out there to go do it. It's clear as night and day. When there's a challenging passage on Pope Francis in part of his magisterium, as it were, you go and you look, and instead of becoming ameliorated, clarified, made better, you find that that problem does not go away. It's as bad as you thought, or worse, as when you heard it on the radio or on the internet. And then you find two or three more. You find two or three more problems with something Pope Francis wrote in the line above and below. Looking to the text does not clarify, it makes worse, and it confirms suspicions with Francis. Here's why some fellow traditionalists are mad at me, have been mad at me since about Easter time. That is not the case. I've been writing, researching this book on Vatican II. It is the case that when you look at what's going on, the bad guys were running the show, and they had a wicked intent. Absolutely. This is verifiable in several wises. You can make the case really strongly. I do. But with regard to the Vatican II documents, the sacred constitutions, it's not the case. What I just said about Francis, if you look in the transcript above, what I said 30 seconds ago, it's the privations, the weaknesses in the documents themselves get much better, much clearer. It turns out you heard a much exaggerated form of the issue, of the problem, ostensibly. It's just a fact. That's how it's been for me researching this book. I'm a guy I like to be accurate. I don't put narrative above the truth. I put the truth above narrative. I conform my narrative of my account of things to the truth as I've most accurately ascertained it. It now with Francis, like I say, things are as bad or worse as pretty much the worst of his reasonable critics say about him. And I usually find 2, 3, 4, 5 extra flaws that no one's even talking about, even the radical Francis critics. That's not true with the Vatican II documents. Now, it is true about the council itself and the guys there. They're pretty bad guys. But that's a distinction that I want out there for the Catholic world to have and to hold. Now, when it comes to Tim Staples, who I like and I'm saying is good, he's just way off on Pope Francis. And I would challenge him to a debate. I'd love to do a debate in person, on Zoom format, whatever. And it would be friendly as all get out. And I would do it with Trent Horn again too, and we can make it a lot friendlier because we know each other a lot better than we did back then, than the death penalty feminism one. I like these guys, but we should debate. It would be good. It would be good for Catholicism. Debate on Francis and gay civil unions. I strongly recommend it, and we shouldn't keep passing on this stuff. We should be doing debate with one another. But now, to be fair, Tim Staples was saying, oh, the worst of the Francis critics are criticizing Francis on behalf of their own constituency because of what he said about gay civil unions. No, that's not it. I'm criticizing what Francis said about gay civil unions, not because I'm a Francis critic, but because it's the correct thing to critique. You call me, or people like me, a harsh Francis critic because I make the criticism, not the other way around. That's one thing, Mr. Staples. But again, I like you, and I just think we should debate this out so people can make the decision for themselves. And I will fight fair, and I know you will as well. We should do this. Now, Mr. Staples, you first quote Austin Ivory's tweet to the effect that it's text from a Spanish letter from a Vatican official regarding the Pope's statements on homosexuality and same-sex civil unions in the documentary Francesco, writing, "The attached, in Spanish, was seen October the 30th via a Latin American nuncio at the request of Secretary of State to provide some elements for a proper understanding of certain expressions of the Holy Father in the Francesco documentary. The Vatican Secretariat of State writes to bishops of the world through the nuncios to brief them on Pope's civil union remarks. Two show that they referred to particular arrangements of the state in respect of same-sex couples and do not touch on church doctrine. Now, to help understand some of the expressions of the Pope in the documentary Francesco, this was electively done. Some statements contained in the documentary Francesco by filmmaker Evgeny Efanivsky have provoked in the past few days a variety of reactions and interpretations. Therefore, we are offering some useful points of clarification with the hope of, per this per his instruction, providing an adequate comprehension of the words of the Holy Father. Okay, so this is what Tim Staples said. More than a year ago, during an interview, Pope Francis answered two different questions at two different times that, in the aforementioned documentary, were edited and published as a single answer without the proper contextualization, which has generated confusion. Right off the bat, there's a kind of obfuscation here, Mr. Staples. And maybe it's unwilling, so maybe it would be considered just misinterpretation. But to say that these two statements of Pope Francis are taken out of context, which ameliorates the entire situation, is false. That they are two different statements, okay? Let the record show. These are two different statements. But the damning statement of Francis appears to be its proper context, is what it appears to be. The statement is a statement by Francis recently about what he did as Argentina Archbishop and why. And what he did was support gay civil union legislation that came up as a matter of first impression. It was the first time that the substance of gay civil union law was about to be made in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. It was not an addendum, an accidental modification, an addition, a subtraction to existing legislation. This is very important. It was a matter of legislative first impression in Argentina that Francis supported on gay civil unions. This, let me say it very clearly, so this is only one of the two statements that he made that were stuck together. Who cares? Take the one that needs no further context. That is an accurate expression. What I just said is an accurate expression of the historical situation. Let me rephrase, hopefully even more briefly. It was a matter of first impression that Francis supported in Buenos Aires for gay civil unions. The reason this is so important, Mr. Staples, I think you know, and I'm not trying to be condescending, I think you know this, is because there's a Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document summarizing magisterial Catholic teaching on the matter, and this is proscribed. As a matter of first impression, when gay civil union is being legalized, one cannot support it as a Catholic. It doesn't matter what the other statement made it sound like, that was glued on, that was super added, made it sound like Pope Francis was supporting gays being able to adopt kids or something like that. No, he was referring to they shouldn't be kicked out of their own families. That also doesn't matter, because once there's gay civil union legislation that's on the books in countries, by the way, this isn't the main purpose of my rebuttal, but once gays are in civil unions legally, they're allowed to adopt. So your distinction is, in this secondary sense, not on point, not relevant, and doesn't hit home, doesn't hit hard anyway. Because once gays can be considered in civil union, in all of the countries where civil union legislation has been legalized, they're allowed to adopt. So Francis was implicitly, you're right, not explicitly, but implicitly supporting gay civil union adoptions. Okay, this is not arguable. Everyone out there, this is not arguable. They were edited, published as a single answer without the proper context, Tim Staples says, which has generated confusion a little bit. The lion's share of the confusion it generated was from that first statement, Francis saying why and what he did as Archbishop of Buenos Aires supporting gay civil union. And this tension, contradiction, confusion is not resolved by simply examining the context. Like I said, the first 5 minutes. Francis' confusion is never resolved. It's only deepened by getting a better handle on the facts. The Holy Father, Staples continues, had first made a reference to the pastoral need that Within the family, a son or daughter with a homosexual orientation should never be discriminated against. Okay, these are reversed. So I took them out of chronological order. I meant the second statement. The first statement is, don't discriminate against someone in your son or your daughter if they turn out to have SSA. These words, Staples says, refer to this. Homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or made miserable because of it. No one cares about this statement. Yeah, maybe the way it was super added into the documentary, Francesco, it made it sound like an explicit endorsement on the part of the Pope of the ability of gays, once in civil unions, to adopt their own kids. I get that. Who cares? I get it. I'm not just saying it. I really get it. Full stop. But who cares? Once you're in a gay civil union in all the countries where it's legal, you get to adopt kids anyway. And therefore, implicitly, by the Pope not only here reminding us of his support for gay civil union legislation, but the fact that he did support it before he was even Pope, and now as Pope he's reaffirming it, he already implicitly supported the ability of gays to adopt kids once they're in civil unions. So this is either a misunderstanding on Tim Staples' part, which I believe it has to be, though I also do understand. I do think he knows what he's talking about generally, which is why he has that job. Or it does seem to be some verbal trickery, which I don't think it is, because of all the nice things I said about Tim Staples. Okay? And same thing with Trent Horn was making comparisons to this, between this and Aquinas saying prostitution need not be illegal. So the following paragraph of the post-synodal apostolic exhortation of Moris Laetitia on love in the family can shed greater light on this statement, Staples says. And this is another area where just as much as we agree on, as two Roman Catholic brothers in Christ, Tim Staples calls a Moris Laetitia a good document. It's got like 10 issues, 10 to 14 areas of actual heterodoxy. Close to another HE word, but that requires all these subjective considerations. I'm just saying 10 to 14 instances of genuine heterodoxy, some of which we barely even talk about. Saying hell can't punish forever, things like that. We barely even talk about that, let alone the main issue, communion for the civilly divorced and remarried. He says this statement helps. The church makes her own the attitude of the Lord Jesus, who offers his boundless love to each person without exception. During the synod, we discussed the situation of families whose members include persons who experience same-sex attraction, a situation not easy either for parents or for children. We would like, before else, to reaffirm that every person, regardless of sexual orientation, ought to be respected in his or her dignity and treated with consideration. While every sign of unjust discrimination is to be carefully avoided, particularly any form of aggression and violence, such families should be given pastoral guidance respectfully so that those who manifest a homosexual orientation can receive the assistance they need to understand and fully carry out God's will in their lives. Well, so this passage that Tim Staples believes is clarifying or ameliorating from Amoris Laetitia, which was the post-synodal exhortation, refers back to the deliberations of that synod to which the exhortation is post-synodal to. And remember, in 2014, the completely damning relatio, the midterm report, what the synod fathers were trying to do, really with Francis's imprimatur, tacit imprimatur, it was horrifying. They were saying that the church should acknowledge and affirm the positive aspects of gay relationships, which are nothing, they're pure privation. So this was the real goal that had to be backed away from at the 2014 Extraordinary Synod on the Family and the 2015 Ordinary Synod on the Family. Right, so that's what a post-synodal apostolic exhortation is. It's an exhortation that the Pope writes after a synod has taken place. And guess what? Guess what? This is what was really going on at the synod. They only backed off because the world made a stink. And guess who really made a stink in the world? The African bishops saved the church from an abomination of homosexualism that was everywhere. It was everywhere, like cockroaches. Once you threw the light on, it was everywhere at the first 2014 synod. And then at the 2015 synod, they were trying to rehabilitate that homosexualism in the name of the synod fathers and Francis. And they were trying to change the rules day to day. Even the lefty synod fathers ended up complaining about it. So this is a bad example, Pope Tim Staples. This is a bad example, man, because those two synods, I will, if we get into a friendly discussion on it, I will show you. I will read that midterm Relatio report. It was bad. It's expressive of the sovereign will of those bishops. They just had to back off. And so he ends up sticking this kind of pro-gay language in a way that's non-offensive. People who are SSA still deserve to be loved. They need to carry out God's will in their lives. But Francis also doesn't make this clear that this means total sexual continence for them. If they're the type of SSA people that don't, you know, if we're talking about men, that don't like girls even a little bit, have no interest in marrying, well, then they are lifetime celibates, baby. That's the only way they can carry out God's will in their lives. And Francis refrained from saying that. But yeah, no violence should be done to them. They shouldn't be discriminated against unjustly. Now, it depends what you mean by discrimination. If they are SSA people who are active, which is the majority of people who are attracted to the same sex, most of them are sexually active. And this is one of the six or seven sins that cries out for retribution from heaven. So if the father or mother are faithful Catholics, they will tell them how odious the sin is, how deathly the sin of homosexuality is when acted upon. So Francis is using weaponized ambiguity, blah, blah, blah. When does he not? And this is no great savor, no great salvific force is worked upon the conversation here, Mr. Staples, by pointing out anything that happened before, during, or after the Synod on the Family, where they tried to sneak in this homosexualist stuff. Francis ended up in Amoris Laetitia, paragraph 250, sticking in this throwaway language that says stuff so banal, so meaningless, that no one would ever quibble with it anyway. A subsequent question from the interview, says Staples, was in reference to a 10-year-old local law in Argentina on marriage equality of same-sex couples. This is where we get to the real meat of the issue. All that other stuff's boring. No one wants to see anything bad happen to same-sex attracted people. It's also on his opposition to them as the then Archbishop of Buenos Aires in this regard. To this end, I don't know what he means by that. To this end, Pope Francis has affirmed that, quote, it is an incongruity to speak of homosexual marriage. That's not what it's at issue here. We're not worrying about the nomos, the title, the names, the nomenclature. Who cares? Pope Francis has severed, he's distinguished between, and the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith says you can't do this as a faithful Catholic, severed between licit, in his mind, licit gay civil unions, it's just a secular person's name for gay marriage, and gay marriage, which is illicit. Francis says all of the load-bearing distinction is carried by the name. As long as we say, no, it's got to be gay civil union, but it's not a real marriage, it's not Christian marriage, but they should be getting civil niceties of married people. I think basically all the civil niceties of married people, aside from the religious civil niceties of married people, that's not allowed. So Tim Staples is hyper-defending by hyper-emphasizing what Francis is emphasizing, and it's an illicit thing to emphasize. It doesn't matter, in other words, in the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith document, whether or not you call a gay civil union a marriage or a union. Who cares? The reason that gays are happy to have that civil right, so-called, is precisely because there's no meaningful distinction between a gay civil union and a gay marriage, aside from the stupid name. No one cares. They're usually not religious anyway, so they don't care that it's not falling under the category, the predicament of matrimony. And Francis knows that, and I think Tim Staples knows that too. So let me back up a second. When Tim Staples says his opposition to them being the marriage equality laws in Buenos Aires, this is very misleading. He did not oppose what was happening in Buenos Aires from the perspective of gay civil unions. He affirmed it. And this is not allowed. It's this simple. That's not allowed. It's an incongruity to speak of homosexual marriage, Francis says, adding that in that same context, he'd spoken about the rights of these people to have certain legal protection, and calling it certain legal protection does nothing to mitigate the fact that we're talking about gay civil union, just gay marriage in the mind of a secular person. Quote, what we have to have is a civil union law. That way they're legally covered. I stood up for that. Okay, so this, full stop. That's Tim Staples covering what he said, Francis, and what he said is completely illicit, it's completely heterodox, it's completely out of bounds, not allowed, it's not Catholic, it's not the teaching. Let me read it again. What we have to have, says Francis, as quoted by Tim Staples, is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered. I stood up for that, and he's saying it was good I stood up for it, implicitly. That's the subtext. And Tim Staples thinks that's okay. It's not. I don't know. I could end the video right here. Boom. If we're debating this, that's the end of the argument. Francis said that. Tim Staples accepts that he said that, so my work isn't in demonstrating that he said that. He really said that. Tim Staples accepted that he said that. Done. Now I'll just read the CDF statement, and then I'll be done in 20 seconds and go home for dinner, right? I'm going to do more than that, of course, but that's what I could do. This confirms the speculation about Buenos Aires. Tim Staples says, the Holy Father expressed himself this way during an interview in 2014. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Secular states want to justify civil unions to regulate different situations of cohabitation, pushed by the demand to regulate economic aspects between persons, such as ensuring health care. It is about pacts of cohabiting of various natures, of which I wouldn't know how to list the different ways. One needs to see the variety, see the different cases and evaluate them in their variety. Now, here's Tim Staples speaking. Therefore, it is clear that Pope Francis was referring to certain provisions made by states and certainly not to the doctrine of the church, which he has reaffirmed numerous times over the years. Whoa. No. The doctrine of the church just means the teaching of the church speaks to secular states' gay civil union laws. Tim, another thing I like about you is your first name, bro. Timotheus. We both mean honoring God, okay? Tim, you just made this statement. Let me read it again. It falsely dichotomizes church teaching and secular civil union laws as if there's no overlap between them. No intersect. There is. There's a church teaching on secular gay civil union laws. It's in a CDF document. That's why this statement by Tim Staples is false. Therefore, it is clear that Pope Francis was referring to certain provisions made by states and certainly not to the doctrine of the church, which he has reaffirmed numerous times over the years. Okay, so that's wrong. That's just an inarguably wrong statement. I like you. You're lovable and huggable, and I think on lots of issues of Catholic teaching, this people can still go to Tim Staples and should and get great stuff. but just not on this aspect of Francis, or really any aspect of Francis, the Francis pontificate, which is a dumpster fire. It's a dumpster fire. It's not arguable. It's not a matter of interpretation. It's a complete dumpster fire. There is church teaching on gay civil unions. You can't, as a faithful Catholic, support them when it's a matter of first impression. When it's you, a Catholic legislator, or anyone even with the vote, and there aren't gay civil union laws, you can do nothing to support their enactment. Once they're enacted, you can take prudential paths, which might differ from person to person. Reasonable minds can differ. How to mitigate them, restrict them to a small corner of the political landscape, get rid of them. That's not what was happening in Buenos Aires. Remember, folks, and as I said in my previous post, our Holy Father has been very clear that homosexual acts and marriage are unacceptable. This is Tim Staples again. The church can never approve of what is an intrinsic evil. Okay, CCC 2357 he cites, which is absolutely right. But the church, therefore, through its Pope, Francis, back when he was a archbishop in Buenos Aires, and then later referred to when he is Pope, is violating 2357. This is so odd. This is such a strange point for Tim to make. Because the church can never approve of what is an intrinsic evil, which is a gay civil union. Full stop. I'm doing a lot of full stops this time. The church can never approve of what is an intrinsic evil. A gay civil union is an intrinsic evil. So the church can never approve of it. Francis did approve of it as Bergoglio. People pronounce that second G, Bergoglio, that's wrong. It's Bergoglio. You don't say Lasagna unless you're joking. It's Lasagna, right? Bergoglio, it's an Italian name. He's an Italian man. He was raised in South America, but he was fully Italian. Italian mother and father. He's Bergoglio. As Pope Francis points out by citing Amoris Laetitia 250, he was speaking of something that had nothing to do with changing or contradicting doctrine. Wrong. Nope. Totally wrong. Not even arguable. Just wrong. Amoris Laetitia 250 is the passage where people just, if you have a gay kid or a same-sex attracted grown-up kid, always love them, always pray for them, always tell them, okay, if you have no interest in the ladies, son, then you have a life of continence. That's all that's saying. And you keep loving with them, you keep working with them. Don't be violent or rude to them. Now, rude doesn't mean that you don't tell them that you hate their sin, their grave mortal sin. And the sin is not the attraction, it's the acts. Duh, duh, duh. This is so dumb. So Staples is coming back to the intrinsic evil. We're talking about gay marriage, intrinsic evil. Gay civil union, intrinsic evil. They're both intrinsic evils. The church can never endorse it. But now Tim is back to talking about Amoris Laetitia 250, which I don't know what to make of that. He's speaking of something that had nothing to do with changing or contradicting doctrine. This is 100.0% just inaccurate, which is fine. No hate. All love. Just that's all wrong. I will leave you with the Pope's excellent apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia 250 to 251. Quote, the church makes her own the attitude of the Lord Jesus, who offers his boundless love to each person without exception. During the synod, we discuss the situation of families whose members include persons who experience same-sex attraction. Situation not easy either for parents or children. I already read this. We would like, before all else, to reaffirm that every person, regardless of sexual orientation, ought to be respected in his or her dignity and treated with consideration, while every sign of unjust discrimination is to be carefully avoided, particularly any form of aggression and violence. Still read this. Such families should be given respectful pastoral guidance so those who manifest a homosexual orientation can receive the assistance they need to understand and fully carry out God's will in their lives. In discussing the dignity and mission of the family, the Synod Fathers observe that Quote, as for proposals to place unions between homosexual persons on the same level as marriage, there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. Well, this is just wrong. I mean, from a Thomistic perspective, to say there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to marriage and family, well, that's just outright wrong. It, in almost every appreciable way, gay civil union mimics the contradiction of, in terms, the contradiction in terms of gay marriage. Gay civil union, when we're talking about a heterosexual union, we're not talking about living with a roommate in college, which I did as well, folks. I lived with a male roommate in college. That's not called a union. The gay civil union is a gay civil marital aping union. So it's as wrong as a marriage. So we're talking about sacramental theology and moral theology. We have to parse. This is what's making Tim Staples so confused. And I guess the Synod Fathers, but I think they really know. The church can never affirm intrinsic evil. Gay marriage is logically impossible and an intrinsic evil. A gay civil union is logically impossible, if we're not talking about heterosexual college roommates, and an intrinsic evil. That's the moral theology of it. Full stop. The sacramental theology is, well, a gay civil union, while it apes and copies the sacrament of matrimony in basically every way, it is not an actual one of the seven sacraments. It's just a secular gay person's way of calling themselves married without using the terminology. Okay, so there's the sacramental theology. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the moral theology. And gay civil unions are intrinsic evils as well. And the church teaches that it cannot affirm, a Christian Catholic cannot affirm, any intrinsic moral evil. So is this clear? So I think legitimately there's a point of confusion by Staples. One Catholic cannot affirm gay marriage because it's a contradiction of moral Catholic theology and sacramental Catholic theology. And also a Catholic can't affirm gay civil unions, as Francis did because he's bad. Affirming gay civil unions would violate Catholic moral theology, but not Catholic sacramental theology. That's all. It's that simple. That is the central minute of this video, right there. So, there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be anyway similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. That's just idiotic. Staples thinks this is exculpatory of Francis. Francis seems to think it's exculpatory of Francis. And the Synod Fathers from 2014-2015, expressed in Amoris Laetitia, seem to think it's exculpatory. No, you can't have any Catholic support as a matter of first impression for gay civil unions, which are also an intrinsic evil. It is unacceptable that local churches should be subjected to pressure in 275, blah, blah, blah. Let me see. This matter and that international body should make financial aid to poor countries dependent on the introduction of laws to establish marriage between persons of the same sex. Now, Staples also says, for the anti-Francis mob who consistently misrepresent our Holy Father, this is hardcore, I would note that footnote 278 cites as an authority the very document they alleged our Holy Father contradicted.
He did.
Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, considerations regarding proposals to give legal recognition to unions between homosexual persons. This is the big document on point. I will say it again. Pope Francis is Catholic, he means in his teaching. So
that CDF document points out that there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions
to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. One quick point, though. That doesn't mean that because of the dissimilitude of Christian marriage and gay civil unions, which are legal in many of the Western countries in the world right now, that the latter are okay according to Christian teaching. Remember the distinction I just made shortly ago. Christian, Catholic, moral theology proscribes gay marriage and gay civil union. Catholic sacramental theology speaks to gay marriage. There's no such thing. It doesn't really have anything to say to gay civil unions. But the point that's confusing Mr. Staples is that what's relevant here is moral theology. What Francis is running afoul of is moral theology. Sacramental theology, yes, a gay civil union is not a sacrament. It does, however, violate Catholic moral theology to defend, to make an argument for, to uphold, to maintain a meaningful distinction between marriage and it in a way which would validate the existence of gay civil unions. So he's taken the exact opposite point away from the CDF document. Marriage is holy, homosexual acts go against the natural moral law. The homosexual acts, which are the central act or the essential act or the defining act of a gay civil union, violate the natural moral law in the exact same sense that they do in so-called gay marriage, in countries that have gay marriage. The nominalistic distinction between gay marriage and gay civil union does not alleviate the horrendously evil moral evil at work in a gay carnal relation in a gay civil union as distinguished from a gay marriage. This is nuts. This is crazy. I should watch my language. This is crazy. Okay? Homosexual acts close the act to the gift of life. They do not proceed from the genuine affective and sexual complementarity, which is only between men and women. Under no circumstances can they be approved. I guess the other way to defend the CDF document that Tim Staples thinks Francis is arguing on the behalf of is to ask, what is the essential act? The actus essendi, to use the Thomistic language, of gay civil unions. It's still gay carnal relation, just as gay carnal relations would be the actus essendi of gay marriage. Now we're doing moral philosophy. So they share, in essence, really gay civil unions, since they don't distinguish or designate what I had in college, and most of you had as an undergrad in college, living, cohabitating with someone of the same sex in an apartment or dorm. That's not a gay civil union. A gay civil union is just the secular equivalent of gay marriage, and neither is really possible because of the state of phusis, nature. There's no such thing as gay marriage, just as from an ontological point of view, there's no such thing as a gay civil union in nature. So to distinguish in sacramental theology is one thing. Well, there is no gay matrimony. I guess we allow that in these synthetically derived political communities, the liberal ones in the first world, they've made up something called gay civil union, but they've kind of done that with marriage anyway. That sacramental theological distinction does no work to showing what Tim Staples and I guess Pope Francis want it to show, that it's okay to argue for gay civil unions but not gay marriage. No, wrong. It means the exact opposite of what they think it means. And Tim Staples, let's take a step back here. What about all of the faithful, good Catholic prelates
like Cardinal Mueller,
the former CDF, who've called out Francis on this. Are all of the this is not a rhetorical question, and again, I'm not being snotty. I'm trying to foster a new dialogue and encounter in the Catholic world where I do a video like this and then we actually get together and have a friendly, spirited debate and then go drink a beer. But I'm asking you non-rhetorically, are all the Catholics that are concerned the anti-Francis mob, according to you? I mean, I'm against most of his teachings that ever make the news. And I look into them, too, and they all end up being as bad as anyone thinks. So I'm against them. That doesn't mean I'm against the chair of Peter or the see or the office or the man. I'm just against pretty much all of his teachings, and I do suspect the man. So are you dismissing anybody like Cardinal Mueller or any of the good few American bishops or Archbishop Vigano or Bishop Schneider? The real leaders defending the true gospel in the church. Are you dismissing them as anti-Francis mob or are you only referring to members of the laity who have an issue, even though Canon 212 calls us to make similar fraternal corrections of our prelates? Not only fellow bishops do this. Cardinal Mueller made it clear that one can and must criticize many ideas and actions of individual popes without questioning the mission and mandate of the pope as the successor of Peter. Now, the whole is the sum of the parts in this case, and I would say, well, when you get 45, 50, 55 of these serious errors by the pope, one begins to question the motivations or inspirations, or at the very least, the Christian understanding of the man, Francis. But at the very least, Cardinal Mueller, former CDF, is saying that one can and must criticize many ideas of actions of individual popes. Good. He also stated the present statement of Pope Francis on the wrong statement of Pope Francis on gay civil unions is a purely private expression of opinion, which every Catholic canon should freely contradict. Not only can, but should freely contradict it. Tim, you seem to be defending it out of a sense of ostensible necessity. Forced ostensible necessity. Like, well, I have to defend this because, like we've said so many times over the last 7 years, even though we at Catholic Answers have the correct position on the Pope, as against Protestants, look, most of his statements are an ex cathedra. There have been two in 2,000 years, one per millennium. Not that bad. But you seem to be receiving this clearly wrong teaching with the sense of religious submission of will, and you can't, because your will can't be opposed to what you know in a meaningful way in your intellect. If we believe in the concept of recto ratio, right reason. Sacred Scripture condemns homosexual acts as a serious depravity in Romans chapter 1, 20-24 to 27 verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1. This judgment of Scripture does not, of course, permit us to conclude that all those who suffer from this anomaly are personally responsible for it, but it does attest to the fact that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. Which I don't think. Tim Staples, you disagree with. The same moral judgment is found in many Christian writers of the first centuries and is unanimously accepted by Christian Catholic tradition. Nonetheless, according to the teaching of the Church, men and women with homosexual tendencies must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. They are called, like other Christians, to live the virtue of chastity, just like everyone else. The homosexual inclination, we call it SSA, same-sex attraction, is, however, objectively disordered. It remains that way, even if it's not sinful, because not perfected through act. And homosexual practices are sins gravely contrary to chastity, more so than heterosexual fornication. There's no
parity or you know, forced false equality there. Now, in this Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document, the introduction reads, "In recent years, various questions relating to homosexuality have been addressed with some frequency by Pope John Paul II and by the relevant dicasteries of the Holy See. Homosexuality is a troubling moral and social phenomenon, even in those countries where it does not present significant legal issues. It gives rise to greater concern in those countries that have granted or intend to grant legal recognition to homosexual unions, which may include the possibility of adopting children." So here you have the address of adopting children. And I don't, this was written years ago. Not only may it include the possibility of adopting children, it always does. It always, you know, whatever this is, however many years later, it always means that gay couples have the distinct possibility of adopting children. The present considerations do not contain new doctrinal elements. They seek rather to reiterate the essential points on this question and provide arguments drawn from reason, which could be used by bishops in preparing more specific interventions appropriate to the different situations throughout the world, aimed at protecting and promoting the dignity of marriage, the foundation of the family, and the stability of society, of which this institution is a constitutive element. The present considerations are also intended to give direction to Catholic politicians. This is most key. Okay, this is why I'm, one of the many reasons I'm confident that I'm right here and Tim Staples is wrong. The considerations are also intended to give direction to Catholic politicians by indicating the approaches to proposed legislation in this area which would be consistent with Christian conscience. So we're not just talking about within the church, what the church may affirm about sacramental theology, which would only include matrimony but not gay civil unions. We're talking about real-world secular politics, Catholic, or I guess even more broadly speaking, Christian politicians that want to do the Christian thing. Since this question relates to the natural moral law, the arguments that follow are addressed not only to those who believe in Christ, that's even a wider net than I just said, but to all persons committed to promoting and defending the common good of society. This means Plato and Aristotle, any secular, even atheistic followers of Plato and Aristotle would be bound by this. There are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. Again, see my distinction from before. We're distinguishing gay civil unions from gay marriage in order to condemn both, not in order to hold up gay civil unions as okay at this level of secular politics and gay marriage as bad. So there's real confusion on this point. Yes, marriage and civil union are not sacramentally equivalent. Okay, so I understand how people can make this mistake of saying, well, then gay civil unions, and this is the mistake Tim Staples and I guess the Pope made, gay civil unions are okay because they are not, they're openly admitting that they're not sacramentally binding. No, they violate, gay civil unions violate the natural law in the same way that gay marriage does. They just don't violate sacramental law. But that's not, in this case, what's important is morality, not sacramentality. Which is maybe counterintuitive or whatever. We're just asking what's morally wrong and right. Gay civil unions must be denounced as morally innately wicked with all the vigor from a moral perspective that gay marriage would be. Gay marriage is just the extra offense of, it's kind of a blasphemy, right? Putting gay in front of one of the sacraments. That's all. That's the only distinction, though. This seemed to throw Mr. Staples way off. Okay. Marriage is holy while homosexual acts go against the natural moral law. Homosexual acts
close the sexual act to the gift of life. Already read this. They do not proceed from a genuine, effective, and sexual complementarity. It means it has to be a man and a woman. Under no circumstances can they be approved. If this, in the context of Catholic political directive, then homosexual unions cannot be approved under any circumstances, including the state. This needs to be really clear, and it's not. And Catholic Answers, as good of a work as they do when it's dialogue with a Protestant or with someone from another world faith, this is a source of confusion that's plaguing your entire apostolate, because anytime Francis speaks incorrectly, which is frequent, anytime he teaches incorrectly, as he is here, and you guys defend the indefensible, then you're leading people to believe wrong notions. In this case, it's the notion that because gay civil unions are not sacramental, they're morally acceptable or morally licit. No, not correct. Faced with the fact of homosexual unions, civil authorities adopt different positions. This is the CDF. At times, they simply tolerate the phenomenon. At other times, they advocate legal recognition of such unions under the pretext of avoiding, with regard to certain rights, discrimination against persons who live with someone of the same sex. In other cases, they favor giving homosexual unions legal equivalence to marriage, properly so-called, along with the legal possibility of adopting children. That's the closest equivalency that we just named. That's what we're talking about in Europe or America when we talk about gay civil unions. It's just marriage under a different name. That's the worst form, where the government's policy is de facto tolerance and there's no explicit legal recognition of homosexual unions. It is necessary to distinguish carefully the various aspects of the problem. Moral conscience requires that in every occasion, Christians give witness to the whole moral truth, which is contradicted both by approval of homosexual acts, the actus ascendi of a gay union or a gay marriage, and unjust discrimination against homosexual persons, which is, again, that's like saying we all agree, you know, no one should flog their mailman. We don't have to talk about it because no one out there that's reasonable or that's a party to this conversation disagrees. No one wants to see homosexual people discriminated against unjustly. Depends what you mean by discrimination. If you say it's discriminatory it technically is, to say they can't get married or they can't have a civil union, that's not an unjust, that would be a just discrimination. Therefore, document goes on, discreet and prudent actions can be effective. These might involve unmasking the way in which such tolerance might be exploited or used in the service of ideology, homosexualism, they mean, stating clearly the immoral nature of these unions, reminding the government of the need to contain the phenomenon within certain limits so as to safeguard public morality and, above all, to avoid exposing young people to erroneous ideas about sexuality, particularly homosexuality, and marriage that would deprive them of all their necessary defenses and contribute to the spread of the phenomenon, which is a contagion in the world, homosexualism. Those who would move from tolerance to the legitimization of specific rights for cohabiting homosexual persons need to be reminded that the approval or legalization of evil is something far different from the toleration of evil. Okay, so this is why the distinction that Thomas Aquinas makes about prostitution, the legal toleration, is different. It's a negative aspect. If you don't have laws that are specifically against prostitution, this just means that your polity, your political community, has not made a proscription of this, has not made it outlawed. That's not what's happening with positive, affirmative legislation, which moves from the state of nature, the state of neutrality that a government has with its people, toward giving affirmative, contracted social rights, specifically the rights of married persons, even though they don't use the M word, to gay people. And that includes, in almost all cases or all cases, the right to adopt. Very different from Thomas Aquinas on the legalization of prostitution. One argues from the state of neutrality, social neutrality, on whether or not prostitution ought to be legal or ought to be enjoined, or on the other hand, ought to be encouraged. No, you could have a society that has a more hands-off government. The Catholic tradition favors hands-off government. For 2,000 years it has, not just since the advent of republics. But when we're talking about giving positive rights through gay civil unions, forget gay marriage, let's not talk about it anymore in this video, just gay civil unions, this is a moral evil because you are encouraging through the rights given to gay couples that in every meaningful way, without a distinction, ape marriage in the secular realm. This is the outright encouragement of it. Listen to what it says now. In those situations where homosexual unions have been legally recognized or have been given the legal status and rights belonging to marriage, clear and emphatic opposition is a duty. One must refrain from any kind of formal cooperation in the enactment or application of such gravely unjust laws, and, as far as possible, from material cooperation on the level of their application. This is a way higher bar than I think even Tim Staples thinks he's arguing against. Not just avoidance of formal cooperation with this, but Pope Francis advocated for it. Avoid even material cooperation where possible. In this area, everyone can exercise the right to conscientious objection. This is strong. This is strong. I mean, this is CDF saying Francis is way wrong. Anyone who would defend him, in this case, Catholic Answers, is way, way, way wrong. Just clearly wrong. No prudence involved, no gray, it's black and white. The scope of the civil law is certainly more limited than that of the moral law. Sure. But the civil law cannot contradict recto ratio, right reason, without losing its binding force on conscience. Every humanly created law is legitimate insofar as it is consistent with the natural moral law, recognized by right reason, and insofar as it respects the inalienable rights of every person. Laws in favor of homosexual unions are contrary to right reason because they confer legal guarantees analogous to those granted to marriage. I would say identical in our society to those granted to marriage, to unions between persons of the same sex. Given the values at stake in this question, the state could not grant legal standing to such unions without failing in its duty to promote and defend marriage as an institution essential to the common good. This is an absolutely natural moral law question. It doesn't really, in an interesting or necessary way, involve sacramental theology at all, and that's the only way you would balk at this. It might be asked how a law can be contrary to the common good if it does not impose any particular kind of behavior, but simply gives legal recognition to a de facto reality which does not seem to cause injustice to anyone. Listen to this. In this area, one needs first to reflect on the difference between homosexual behavior as a private phenomenon and the same behavior as a relationship in society, foreseen and approved by the law to the point where it becomes one of the institutions of the legal structure. The CDF is contemplating what that means to become constitutive with one of the time-venerated institutions of the legal structure. It means that this has the mandate of the people, which is supposed to mean it has the mandate of God, even in a secular society. The second phenomenon is not only more serious, but also assumes a more wide-reaching and profound influence, and would result in changes to the entire organization of society, contrary to the common good. Civil laws are structuring principles of man's life in society, for good or for ill. They play a very important and sometimes decisive role in influencing patterns of thought and behavior. Lifestyles and the underlying presuppositions these express not only externally shape the life of society, but but also tend to modify the younger generation's perception and evaluation of forms or behavior. Legal recognition of homosexual unions would obscure basic moral values and cause a devaluation of the institution of marriage. We're not talking about gay marriage here. Throw that out the window. We're talking about the church's teaching, doctrine, teaching on gay civil unions. That everything I've just read is church teaching from the Magisterium, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, against anyone that would defend or formally cooperate with gay civil unions, let alone to advocate for them, which is a strong form of formal cooperation. Number eight, society owes its continued survival to the family founded on marriage. The inevitable consequence of legal recognition of homosexual unions would be the redefinition of marriage, which would become in its legal status an institution devoid of essential reference to factors linked to heterosexuality. That's the real thing right there. In the secular mind, gay civil unions are just gay marriage, and this prescinds from any necessary connection or essential reference to factors linked to heterosexuality, which is what people need imprinted on their brain. Sexuality means heterosexuality, right? You can't even, there's no complementarity between a man and a man. The parts don't even connect. You can't create. There's not the generative human power, the generative animal power of bringing forth offspring. That's the whole thing. That's the whole test. It's just natural law. It's easier than we're making it. For example, procreation and raising children. If from the legal standpoint, marriage between a man and a woman were to be considered just one possible form of marriage or union, the concept of marriage would undergo a radical transformation with grave detriment to the common good. This hasn't happened or anything in the West over the last decade to two decades, especially decade. Has it? Tim Staples, has it? Pope Francis? With grave detriment to the common good. By putting homosexual unions on a legal plane analogous to that of marriage in the family, the state acts arbitrarily and in contradiction with its duty. So we're not talking about the state contradicting the teachings of the church. We're talking about the state contradicting the teachings of the church as they apply to the common good, meaning secular society, secular culture, and state at large. That's a huge distinction. The principles of respect and non-discrimination cannot be invoked, Pope Francis, to support legal recognition of homosexual unions. Wow. It's like they wrote this after Pope Francis invoked the principles of respect and non-discrimination in order to support legal recognition of homosexual unions, because it's so narrowly tailored to the language that Pope Francis used. The crafty, sophistic, Jesuitical casuistry language to make these this connection between these two things. Differentiating between persons or refusing social recognition or benefits is unacceptable only when it is contrary to justice. The denial of the social and legal status of marriage to forms of cohabitation that are not and cannot be marital is not opposed to justice. On the contrary, justice requires it. So this is a strong way of putting it. When you say justice requires something, this is a strong expression of the natural law. Nor can the principle of the proper autonomy of the individual be reasonably invoked. It is one thing to maintain that individual citizens may freely engage in those activities that interest them, and that this falls within the same common civil right to freedom. It is something quite different to hold that activities which do not represent a significant or positive contribution to the development of the human person in society can receive specific and categorical legal recognition by the state. Not even in a remote analogous sense do homosexual unions fulfill the purpose for which marriage and family deserve specific categorical recognition. Again, this is a few years down the road that we are now here in late 2020, almost December of 2020. This is to distinguish as to unite. This is not to distinguish as to distinguish. gay unions and gay marriage are being distinguished here to unite them both as put them in the junk can. You're not allowed to do either of them. And I think this is, I sincerely and with goodwill believe this is what confused Tim Staples. Now, I don't think it confused Pope Francis. I think he knows what he's doing. But I think this, anytime the CDF distinguishes gay marriage and gay union, it's in order to unite them and throw them both in the same garbage pile. A Catholic can't support either. On the contrary, there are good reasons for holding that such unions are harmful to the proper development of human society, especially if their impact on society were to increase, which it has, since these words were inked. Number 10, if it is true that all Catholics are obliged to oppose the legal recognition of homosexual unions, Catholic politicians are obliged to do so in a particular way, in keeping with their responsibility as politicians. Faced with legislative proposals in favor of homosexual unions, Catholic politicians are to take account of the following ethical indications. And the document doesn't even mention the Pope, because we're just assuming a Pope is a good and faithful Catholic. Well, here we are, but here we are. When legislation in favor of the recognition of homosexual unions is proposed for the first time in legislative assembly, in law we call this a matter of first impression, the Catholic lawmaker has a moral duty to express his opposition clearly and publicly and to vote against it. To vote in favor of a law so harmful to the common good is gravely immoral. So we have a Pope that is admitting that 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, when he was a bishop, he was for gay civil unions. Now as Pope, he's still for gay civil unions. Well, his duty is higher than even the Catholic politician. And the Catholic politician, even if they're a Catholic politician in a secular place, like JFK in secular government America, these are his duties, to oppose as a matter of first impression, if it's the first time it's come up to be passed, a bill that would reify gay civil unions. It's his duty to oppose it. Can you imagine what they would say about the Pope? CNA, Catholic News Agency, not a far-right outfit by any stretch of the imagination, did in fact support this arrangement before gay marriage was legal. So CNA affirms that in 2010, 10 years ago, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Pope Francis opposed efforts to legalize same-sex marriage, while Sergio Rubin, the future Pope's biographer, suggested that Pope Francis supported the idea of civil unions as a way to prevent the wholesale adoption of same-sex marriage in Argentina. Miguel Wojtis, director of the Argentinian Catholic News outlet AICA, dismissed in 2013 that claim as false. When legislation in favor of the recognition of homosexual unions is already in force, the Catholic politician must oppose it in the ways that are possible for him and make his opposition known. But if it's already in force, there's way less you can do. It is his duty to witness to the truth. That becomes a prudential issue when there are already pro-gay civil union laws on the books. There's only, like there's already pro abortion laws on the books here in America, have been for 50 years. Okay, so now it's a matter of prudence, how best to counter those laws. That's the kind of distinctions of degree that are susceptible of being a second or a third matter of impression. But on the matter of first impression, the rules are stricter. If it is not possible to repeal such a law completely, the Catholic politician, recalling the indications contained in the evangelical letter Evangelium Vitae, quote, could licitly support proposals aimed at limiting the harm done by such a law and at lessening its negative consequences at the level of general opinion and public morality, on condition that his absolute personal opposition to such laws was clear and well known, and that the danger of the scandal was avoided. This does not mean that a more restrictive law in this area could be considered just or even acceptable. Rather, it is a question of the legitimate and dutiful attempt to obtain at least the partial repeal of an unjust law when its total abrogation is not possible at the moment. This is not what Pope Francis was dealing with. Not what he was dealing with. He suggested gay civil unions are good. He doesn't even disown it. He's proud of it. That he said, as a matter of first impression, why don't we have gay civil unions to protect these rights of homosexual couples who are actively sexual, have an active sexual relationship? Why don't we get this? We don't have this problem before. Pope Francis said, let's go out and borrow trouble in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. Let's get this grave moral evil going. Tim Staples, that is what Pope Francis did. He said, look, yeah, I'm against gay marriage, right? Sacramentally. But here, where I'm an archbishop in Buenos Aires 10 years ago, let's start this moral evil. I like the idea. I support the idea of this grave moral evil, which is in the secular mind identical to gay marriage. Outside of sacramental theology, it is identical to gay marriage in the West. Union just means, you know, getting married for non-religious people. And there is this widespread notion of a gay civil union because people that are advocates of homosexualism aren't typically religious anyway. They're secular thinkers anyway. So there's zero distinctions between gay marriage, gay civil union. It's a distinction without a difference. Except in sacramental theology, which hasn't entered the equation or my analysis in the first letter today, not a jot, not a tittle of it, is related to the moral theology. Everything we're talking about stems from the fact that in that filthy documentary by that leftist Marxist, whose previous documentary to Francesco was all about how, you know, the U.S., it was good that the U.S. helped the election in whatever, ex-Soviet bloc. It was good that we engaged in that color revolution. That was his penultimate movie before Francesco. Francis said there, forget the remark about families, the gays are entitled to them. He says, it was good that 10 years ago in 2010 in Buenos Aires, I, Bergoglio, stood up for the fact that as a matter of first impression, we Argentinians needed to get this moral evil happening. We needed to popularize it. We needed the moral evil of gay civil unions in Buenos Aires, and I'm proud that I stood up for that. Okay, whole story. Done deal. Finito. That's it. It doesn't matter that there is the second comment spliced to it about parents of gays shouldn't be extra mean to their gay kids. He made that comment and that was stuck on there maybe so as to insinuate that they can adopt. But it doesn't matter anyway because in all the Western first world prescription of gay civil unions, they get to adopt anyway. And Pope Francis knows this. And Pope Francis supports this. So you can't say that he doesn't. Such that one cannot say, our Pope teaches Catholic doctrine consistently. There is a doctrine on gay civil unions. It is a fallacy, it is a falsity to say that there is no Catholic teaching doctrine on gay civil unions, but only on gay marriage. I just read you basically the entire document put out by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Now, I would love to debate this if there's lingering questions, but since this is the clearest expression of the Catholic teaching on gay unions that I've heard, and it got buried beneath 2 to 3 weeks, really 4 weeks of crazy U.S. politics here amid the color revolution that's happening under our noses, I had to kick it. I'm in a doctoral program. I do lots of things with my day. I'm writing papers, writing books. But I wanted to get around to this, and it was good, I think, that I could lay it out for all of you that way. And you, Tim Staples, if you still insist on your point of view, let's have a friendly debate and then drink a beer afterwards. Or drink a beer during a friendly Skype or Zoom debate. But it's not personal, it's business. We just need to clarify these things. Catholics need to stop accepting challenges to debate. Same thing with my ex-co-host, Taylor Marshall. I offered to debate him on the hermeneutic of continuity, on the Vatican documents themselves. We don't agree about what was going on during the council, but the documents, which is really what we mean by the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Chalcedon, the Council of Vatican II, we mean is the documents. I offered to debate there too. There's no answer. I'd like to think that Tim Staples or Trent Horn, good guys, would accept an offer to debate when you get that I mean it friendly. I mean, we can be drinking a beer during it. It can be a conversation. I really don't care. I really like you guys. And I just want you to be teaching all the many faithful Catholics that listen to Catholic Answers correctly, as you do anytime one of the other world religions' apologetics comes up. It's always good stuff. When Francis comes up, we need to clarify, and you guys need to correct. But I'm doing everything I can. I'm laboring in under every possible way to make sure you know this is not a token offer of civility that I proffer once at the beginning of a video and then like gonna get nasty. That's not what will happen. Be good dudes, but you're wrong about Pope Francis in this area, and there have been some previous ones. So let's just get down to it. Let's have a discussion. Or if you do a video back and you say, oh, yeah, Tim made a video about Catholic Answers, particularly Mr. Staples, and he pointed out that the CDF document really makes what we were saying null and void, then cool, then we don't have to debate it. That's even better. I just want you guys teaching the good people that listen to Catholic Answers correctly. Because unlike some of the middle of the way or left of center, like journalistic outfits and enterprises, Catholic Answers is definitely closer to left of center or center than I am. But unlike the left of center ones, your guys' readership and audience and listenership are faithful Catholics. They're good. And there's a reason for that. It's because you apologists at Catholic Answers are generally faithful and good. Whether I think we agree about mostly about the Vatican II documents, but about the pontificate of Francis, nay. It's just, it's the Achilles heel. Anyway, God bless you guys. God bless Tim Staples. Pray for the Pope. Pray he converts to the Catholic way of seeing these things. And again, people, please hit the bell and like this video. It does no good to subscribe without hitting the bell and liking. Please do it right now. Thank you. Also, see to my Patreon account if you like the work that I'm doing here. It makes it much easier to be able to be, like, drive home from work or listen to this podcast as you lift weights. I often listen to Michael Knowles' cast when I'm lifting weights at the gym. I'm reading you documents some of the time. Other time it's pure analysis. You don't have to go read it for yourself. And I'm also drudging back up issues like the gay civil union remark at the end of October that got buried prematurely. I drudge them back up. I'm doing all this for you, my listeners. It is work on top of being a doctoral student, on top of writing unrelated books. I'm not writing a book on Francis or anything. And so if you feel so inclined to be a Patreon supporter, I appreciate it duly, and I appreciate my patrons much. God bless you guys. God bless America. Deus Vult. God bless our president.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.